going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Well, this is how we're going to start draft day 2025, because I think this is a huge story. It's been a sleeping giant story. It's been one that the stove has just been on kind of low heat, and now things are coming close to a boil because the George Pickens story came out yesterday, Fox Sports, Steelers making and taking calls on Pickens, Packers in serious pursuit. And they're not the only one who wants him, per an AFC GM who remained anonymous, of course. And then hours later, George did what George likes to do when he gets in his feelings in these situations, and he unfollowed the Steelers on social media. He's back to playing games with them. He's back to doing these passive-aggressive things. He's ticked. And it's happening at the exact time there is a conversation being had inside the Steelers building about how they get extra picks, how they manipulate this draft board the way that they want, and this perfect tandem of Pickens and Metcalf looks like it's already getting derailed, because as soon as word got out that the Steelers were at least going to see what was out there for a guy that's going into the last year of his contract, he's not handling it the way that you would want a player who's just going to put his head down and go to work to do. So I always thought from the very beginning it was absolutely idiotic and dumb to just think that George Pickens would come in a motivated man and not care about the guy next to him who just got $150 million and a bunch of that money guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And that any time he was, had a quiet game or didn't put up numbers, you were going to have to get ready for him to just blow up. And I think this is a clue, and I think that this kind of behavior by him gives you your answer. You trade him either today or tomorrow, and you move on. And you've got a legit number one wide receiver now, which George Pickens is not. Your history of drafting wide receivers in general is good. So go find somebody to be Robin to DK Metcalf's Batman. That shouldn't be a tough task. And asking this guy to just be the great T. Higgins in this offense, I think is just moronic.
Well, there's a naivete that goes along. You called it idiotic, stupid, whatever, to think that he would just go along and be fine with this. I think it's naive, and I think it probably suggests that Mike Tomlin, if he really did believe that, had too strong and too convicted a belief in his own ability to get through to a player. We know what George kind of is at this point. I think everybody kind of knows what he is. The thing I would also say, if I were going to, I don't even want to say silver lining on this, because I said I thought it would happen, and now I feel a little bit better, like the winds are blowing in that direction, so maybe I'll be right on a prediction for once. Everyone like gawked at the idea that if you could get him on board, wow, you've got these two preeminent physical specimen deep threats. Yeah, that could work in theory, but it doesn't always work that way. If they were to draft, say, Emeka Ebuka, at pick 21, knowing or having already traded for George Pickens, traded George Pickens away or done something, you know, they're making moves that are in concert with one another. Tell me why he wouldn't be necessarily a better fit.
I think he would be. I like my wide receiver more, better with him as the
It's more multifaceted, it's more variable.
Player.
He is like truly, I know we've gotten burnt with this before with Claypool was supposed to be a high character guy who wasn't. Ibuka, you have not heard a negative word about. People have pointed out that he had to sit behind guys like Garrett Wilson, Olave, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. He's got
Jeremiah Smith was there.
Thank you.
Couldn't already
think
of the better name. Than already, him and yeah. would be a top five pick in this
Correct.
Draft.
He's the best wide receiver within any spitting distance of a draft. And he has just gone to work and done his thing. He also plays the position differently than DK Metcalf or George Pickens. Like, if it came down to that, that's a net positive because not only are you getting away from a player who is pissed off at you at this point, you have 4 or 5 years, if you want them, of a guy who's on a rookie deal with a fifth-year option who should be stepping in and being productive right away, be like a quarterback's best friend, regardless of who that guy is.
It's just silly sophomoric behavior, and it's just another clue that this year, if he's back, you might not get the best out of him because he knows that he's got an expiring contract here. He's absolutely an emotional person who, with a bad series or a bad day at the office, might check out, not show up on time. I don't know. I just don't want to deal with it. So I'd rather trade him when he still has value. And if a GM is saying that multiple teams are interested and that they're serious,
you should be able to get a second.
Or something good.
You should be able to get a second if you're getting people to bid against each other seriously.
The other absolute myth, who's the guy I like from Steelers Depot?
Cazora. Alex Cazora.
Yes. Pointed this out, I think, on Twitter when this started to percolate last night. It is not a guarantee that they get a comp pick for him. That's based on math in terms of like what other free agents you sign, who you bring in, who comes in and who goes out. It's not a slam dunk. Like I've heard people say, well, you'll always get the third round comp pick for him if he leaves after this season. Well, that's 2 years from now, and that's not necessarily true. CBS Sports put an article out there, 6 teams who could trade for George Pickens. Raiders, Cowboys, 49ers, Saints, Cardinals, actually 5, sorry. 5 landing spots for him. From that group of teams, the 49ers have 2/3, 2/4, the Saints. So the Saints and 49ers have extra picks. The team that has 2/3 might be inclined to trade one of those
And the 49ers' thirds aren't terrible thirds like they traditionally would be because they weren't good this year.
And the Saints' thirds aren't good either. So maybe one of those teams, especially San Francisco when they're still like urgently trying to win, maybe they do it. They've moved heaven and earth to pay guys. They paid Ayuk. Maybe they feel like they can be an Eagles or a Bengals and pay 2 wide receivers. I don't know.
The only thing that was going to be different about this year from George Pickens' standpoint, and I'm not going to speak about him in the past tense, he's still on their team, they might keep him. The only thing you could realistically look at and say that could change the way he has acted from past years, one of the reasons we said he kind of did what he did was because he knew there was nobody else on the roster that was good enough to make them really seriously punish him. DK Metcalf's good enough where if Mike Tomlin was like sick of the BS again, instead of having to like say it once and then try to walk it back, he could just be like, we're sitting you on the bench because we have another dude who's actually a freakier athlete that we can throw the ball to. But I still don't think that would have like gotten through. George is who George is now, man. He's very talented. He's very mercurial. He's very emotional and he doesn't channel it well. Even probably I would say 50% of the time. When he does, it's spectacular. When he doesn't, it's a problem.
Donnie, the unfollowing by George, he's doing wide receiver diva-like behavior. It's not even like, it's one guy's report, and he's already in his feelings about it. I'm ready to be done. I've been ready. This is more proof. I'm not one of these like Kabali eternal optimists who's like, yeah, those two guys will find a way to figure it out when we don't even know who the quarterback is going to be, by the way. So I'd like to get the extra pick for Pickens tonight. How about you?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, the one thing that I was curious about last night. Are we sure that he always has followed everybody on social media because I'm not convinced he does. I'm just
He refollowed and he unfollowed.
That's a matter of fact.
Yes, he followed them back in like January when things were hunky dory, and now he's unfollowing again.
Because I'm never positive if he has followed them to begin with. So I mean, if you're telling me for a fact that he did and then now unfollowed,
he was
again,
out.
We don't see this stuff until there is some tomfoolery going on with him, whether it's trade rumors or whatever it may be, you know, in season when he's not getting the ball enough. So that was my first question about all of it. Has he ever followed anybody? Michael. But you're telling me he has.
Do you guys want the Michael Brewerly update? No more.
Oh, sure.
No more blue check on Twitter.
I have his shirt, by the way. I have it on today in honor.
I still think that's probably some of the best work I've done as a little gift for the boys, the Brewerly shirts. I should have worn it today. Maybe tomorrow will be the right day.
Well, now you cut Donnie off and we don't even know what his take
is on
it. Well,
I want to hear the Brewerly update.
Anything 15 hours ago, anything for your clicks, though, with the crying, like, haha, not even laughing, just tears, waterfalls rolling down. So if we assume that that's Pickens' burner, that's what he's been saying over the last 15 hours. Now, Donnie, I am very sorry to have cut off your point.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a position now where if they can recoup a pick or even pick somebody tonight, they are in a better position than they were. Because a lot of the pushback that we will see and hear is, well, if they trade George Pickens, they're right back where they were.
Metcalf's better than Pickens.
Well, yes, but I also don't agree because this is the weekend where they can make sure that's not the case. Because if they get a second-round pick or an early third, or maybe even tonight, they say, you know what, Egbuka, Golden, Burden, whoever it may be, I don't think McMillan's going to fall to them, but whatever it may be, maybe they pull the trigger on one of those guys, and then they're not in the same situation. It makes him awfully expendable, and I think if they could recoup a pick in the process, that would do them some help, because it's tough to have that big of a gap between your picks. It feels like you have to get almost all of them right.
It's also tough when you have a guy that's immensely talented, but he gives you headaches all the time. And you put up with it with Antonio Brown because he's one of the greatest wide receivers of all time.
And in his case, it didn't start right away. To be fair I have to be fair to him, it ended horribly. In Antonio Brown's case, this point in his career, I don't think AB, the personality, had
Mr.
emerged.
Big Chest.
Yeah, I don't think he was that Ocean. Guy. He also, by the way, I will give him this, way better player than Pickens, even when he wasn't on his best behavior as far as how he acted, he still showed up to work harder
this
than anyone else.
This guy acts like he's, that's right, that's a good point. This guy acts like he's Antonio Brown, and he's not even a top 10, 15 receiver in the NFL. He might be talent-wise, but he's not production-wise.
He is talent-wise, which makes his constant need for attention and frustration and unwillingness to kind of play by the team's rules more frustrating.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With the eighth choice in the NFL Draft 2000, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Plexico Burress, wide receiver, Michigan State.
It's all right. That's okay. This is a big statement that they're making with Cordell in addition to Plexico Burress. And in talking with Coach Bill Cowher, he's not concerned about the, quote, attitude that some people are wondering about Plexico. They say he's a little bit immature, but he wants to win. He wants to deliver, and boy, what a size for a receiver.
Well, great size, Chris. 6'5 plus, about 230 pounds. You see a lot of Keyshawn Johnson in Plaxico Burress. He may take a little while to develop, but he's going to complement Troy Edwards. Troy Edwards doesn't have great size. Burress does. My question is, who's going to get him the quarterback? My attitude is Chad Pennington here, I thought, would have made a little bit more sense, Chris.
Well, but
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Will work in some of those Steelers draft moments through the years.
What was Berman doing at the beginning of that? Hey, it's okay. What was he? Who was he trying to talk off the ledge there?
I think Steelers fans at the draft were disappointed that it wasn't Chad Pennington. So he was like, "Hey, calm down. It's a guy that had a mercurial label on him in college, Plex, and we're talking about another mercurial Steelers wide receiver on draft day 25 years later, and that's George Pickens. And the way he's already responded to these trade reports and rumors, and I think that's a harbinger of things to come with him, and I think they are walking down a dead end if they keep him around with DK Metcalf this season. This is not going to have a happy ending. I'm surprised how many Steelers fans on our text line seem to want to get mad at us for talking about Pickens this way. I'm baffled by the number of supporters he has. What the F has that guy ever done for you? What has he won?
Oh, I can
Where
explain,
are the big
I can explain
game
the,
performances?
No, no, no. You're
Come
thinking about
now.
This wrong. I can explain the supporters thing. The like this is even different than when you and I started at this station 15 years ago. These guys can get their own message out now. Any great athlete, male or female, can get their message out directly to their fans through social media. And it has absolutely helped create a players are always the good guy, media are always the bad guy dynamic. That is 100% why you are getting some people saying George is the best, standing for him. I'm seeing people who write for Steelers blogs, like responding to his Michael Brewerly tweet saying, it's always like that, George, like they're old buddies. Dude, he wouldn't look at you twice if he passed you on the street. Like, it's such a parasitic, weird, parasocial relationship. Parasocial is the word, not parasitic.
But I'm a fan. I've never had that, like, attachment to a guy who had never done anything for me. I get it if, like, people are sycophants for Ben Roethlisberger, Jerome Bettis, Troy Polamalu, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Andrew McCutcheon, guys like that. George Pickens, like, the second his Steelers career, he's lost to the dustbin of history.
Or if he's not, he's thought of as what a talent that they could never get the most out of that never fully bought in.
So
he's seen more as a cautionary tale in some ways.
I think he's letting you know right now with the social media stuff
how
where this goes if you just try to pacify him and try to keep him calm while not negotiating a new deal with him and having put your eggs in the DK Metcalf basket. 412-928-9370. Let's see where our listeners stand on this, beginning with Scott in the North Hills. Hello, Scott.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
We're good.
Hey, I'm surprised you guys are coming to this conclusion over an Instagram unfollowing. I mean,
why?
You know,
I mean, we came to conclusions about T.J. Watt's Instagram post. Yes,
Yeah,
of course.
Weren't you? That's when I quit on the guy. When he quit on the team and quits on plays, his ship has sailed 2 years ago. And, you know, it's just been a get rid of him. If you can get even a third now, which you just mentioned, you take it in a heartbeat. Honestly, if you get a fourth, why not? Because otherwise you're stuck with this guy for another year and all the nonsense and all the team distraction.
Thank you, Scott. The Saints have two-thirds of the 71st and 93rd pick.
Would you take pick 71 straight up?
Yes.
Yeah, so would
I. The 49ers at the 75th and 100th picks.
I would take either 71 or 75 from either of those teams straight away. The Saints also, with Olave's like health being pretty weird, unfortunately, because of a lot of concussions, have to start thinking about that position. That's why they should be interested.
Not a lot of high-end wide receivers in this draft, too. We've talked about a couple of them. Obviously, the kid from Arizona put up huge numbers, gets compared to Mike Evans. Golden ran that amazing 40, but there's questions about him.
Burden
is a love-hate player.
Yeah.
Abuka's looked at as a number two receiver.
Abuka's the safest guy, but he's high floor, lower ceiling.
Maybe this is the year you could get someone to overspend for George because they don't feel like they can find that type of player in the draft.
To play devil's advocate, though, they have to pay him.
And, oh, no doubt. And
they have to be confident that they can get him to be more than what he has been, which is not always a crisp route runner, not always a max effort guy. Like, kind of the downside, like the Oakland Raiders version of Randy Moss, and you're trying to get, like, the Vikings or the Patriots Randy Moss out of them.
Here's Randy next. Hello, Randy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
You know what? The Steelers should drop this dude like a bad habit. I'm tired of hearing this crybabying. Now, a team you didn't mention, I think I might be interested in, is the Packers.
Well, yes, that was the initial report from Fox that they're serious about getting George Pickens. They're not fooling around here. They're serious, Randy.
Well, I didn't get down. Thank you for telling me that.
You're welcome.
But Dobbs is there, but he's paired off an odd third round pick. I don't know.
Yes, thank you. You take a third. We're getting a consensus here from the people that are calling into the show. They're on our side. You don't always have to be on our side when you call in. Let's
see. The YouTube comments have baffled me. Did somebody call Emeka Buka a diva?
No.
Or is it commenters having...
Maybe it's a commenter war.
It might be, because I'm getting very confused, because he is the opposite of that.
Here's Dave in Monongahela. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. I am 100% with you. I gave up on him down the stretch last year with the mysterious hamstring injuries and dogging it on his routes to the corner of the end zone, letting us get intercepted at, you know, at Cincinnati. Right then, I ought to cut his butt.
Damn. Ruthless Dave. Then Monongahela.
Still thought the nadir of Pickens' tenure was that Chiefs game, and then with the Mike DeFabo report coming out after that, he showed up as a guy that had been injured the last couple of weeks. He showed up inside the 90-minute window where they already had to declare inactives, only to have Mike Tomlin. Can you get the Tomlin clip, please, just quickly, where he gets asked about that a couple weeks later and goes, I need to hear him say that was a long time ago. Apparently a man who gets paid almost $20 million to do one of the most complex jobs in sports could
Any
not remember things.
Did you report that Pickens was late on Christmas Day to the game against the Chiefs?
Man, that's a few days back. I really don't know I have the answer to that, to be quite honest with you. I got a lot going on in pregame. I can't answer that definitively.
When people show you who they are, believe him. This guy can't be trusted, and the Steelers should act accordingly. Here is Todd in Pittsburgh on George Pickens. Hello, Todd.
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
Thank you, Todd.
Resident draft obsessive fake John and Robinson. The Packers will trade out of pick 23 to a quarterback needy team and use the return from that trade to go get Pickens from the Steelers.
Is. Swing and a high fly ball. Ballpark will hold it. Out to shallow left field. Pham is there. Makes the catch. The ball game ends with Mike Trout at the bat. And it's a two-hit shutout for the Pirates. What another whale of a pitching performance for the Bucs, who will clinch their first road series win of the season. And perhaps a sweep due tomorrow as they shut out the Angels 3-0 tonight.
I kind of like it now. It's grown on me. The quaint Joe Block talking like he's a 1920s baseball announcer. A whale of a pitching performance.
I just saw a great one from Haney today.
A whale.
He went in and silenced the Halos. No Angels in this outfield. Andrew Haney was the devil went down to Georgia and came around to Anaheim on the way.
At 2:36, time to call the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Jason Mackey, you hear him evenings on The Fan, and you read him in the Post-Gazette. He wrote about the Pirates this week. Forget bricks and bobbleheads. Bob Nutting should worry about fixing his team's baseball problems. Jason, do you think that message was delivered to PNC Park, and do you think he's going to start going for more than just the bread and circus of bobbleheads and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're unaware. I think times are pretty tense over there. Took the heat out of a hot kitchen last night a little bit. The past two nights, they're actually hitting the ball. I mean, obviously, the path of least resistance would be to not fire anybody. But if this goes poorly, yeah, I don't think Bob would be too terribly far away.
What do you think he's most upset about? If you had to put your finger on and guess, what about this Pirates start has rankled him and bothered him the most? What do you think it is?
Can you give me a few, like, which direction are you going? Because I think there's a few different ways. Like the lack of development, the lack of
anything.
Prospects.
The world is your oyster here. This is a blank canvas.
I mean, here's how I can sum it all up. A couple years ago, or 2019, Bob thought he took aggressive steps and spent a lot of money in his world to make these guys go away and bring in new people who were going to get them closer to the Guardians, the Rays, this small market stuff that is attainable. And not only is he getting bagged on relentlessly for them not spending, the stuff that he thinks that he's spent on, you know, to within the Pirates' grasp, they've screwed that up. You know, trades, free agent signings, international, all of these things that they're not out of bounds for the Pirates. A team like the Pirates should be able to develop guys, and this group hasn't been able to do it.
Jason, do you think that he's got a game total in mind
when it comes to Derek Shelton, where he's already got it in his head, the owner, I'm going to reevaluate this after X number of games, and if I don't like what I see and or the record is a certain record, he's gone.
Yeah, I do. And a lot of times, I mean, you may look
what
at
game
maybe
number
2 months.
That? How many games is that in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I think we're darn close to it, Chris. I think they're, I literally think they're staving off doing something by winning a couple games here. Shoot, I was talking to a scout yesterday.
So wait,
yesterday,
if they were to lose,
hold on, let's
last,
hear that
okay,
scout point.
Yeah, talking to the
what did
yeah.
the scout say?
That we were talking about, like, what if things would go poorly on this road trip? You know, obviously they're not, so I don't know if this is still a realistic scenario, but I'm like, could you see them blowing it up? He said, yes, absolutely. I don't think we're terrible. I'm not saying it's imminent. I'm just saying that, you know, we're reaching that this is a fair sample size kind of territory, Chris, and if it continues to stink, Bob has to do something.
How about the Andrew McCutchen side of this, where on Sunday he sounded like he wanted to say it somewhat diplomatically, but he doesn't sound exactly thrilled with the way he's been handled.
He
okay. Expand on that, please.
No player likes that. No player likes the amount of change. Kutch wants to play, man. I mean, I think this is his last year. I do. I think this is it. I think he's trying to tell us that. I don't think he's ever going to come right out and say it. And I don't think he wants to sit on the bench for his last year. I think he thinks that he can help the team. And no, I don't think guys in that clubhouse are terribly thrilled with the amount of screwing around with the lineup that they
So who
do.
Is who
and
does
so
that
maybe
come
Kutch
from?
Said the quiet part out loud.
Is that Shelton or is that Charrington? Who is the person responsible?
It's ultimately Shelton. It's his lineup card. But he makes his decisions based on a lot of input from the analytics team in Charrington and, you know, people in the sports science people talking about rest and whatever. But it's ultimately his lineup card.
So do the sports science or specifically maybe the analytics people, do they not think that there's value in having a steady lineup most nights? Do they think that the negative impact of continuously juggling the lineup is overstated or minimal?
Yes. You know what they're looking at, Chris? They're looking at matchups. They think matchups are more important than the continuity achieved by not screwing with the lineup. They hunt matchups at all costs. And I disagree with it. I think you guys probably disagree with it too.
I disagree with it when you have a bunch of bad hitters, and if anything is seemingly making them more comfortable, you should try to strive to that end. I think if you have a terrific lineup where guys aren't going to be worried about being in straight platoons, you can probably do what you're describing that they think is important. But this team has like maybe 2 good hitters right now.
Chris, I've had that exact conversation with people very much around the Pirates. You know, my argument was third time through. And I said, I understand the third time through in order is typically, you know, a baseball thing. You get a little skittish. If I have a Pirates pitcher who's actually pitching well that night, man, I care less about the third time through. I'm going to keep him going as long as his pitch count is reasonable and he's getting outs. This is the same brand of thinking where they're sort of like overriding logic with analytics.
There you go. Jason Mackey, check him out on our airwaves and read him in the Post-Gazette, his column on the Pirates doing more than just pacifying fans with PR wins is up right now and it's very good. So thank you, Jason. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good night.